You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, and soon to be in the studio, Lisa Lane. We just know gardening. We've had a family garden center for many decades. In fact, Waters Garden Center has been in existence since 1962. That's 55 years. And no, we're not 55 years old or 70 or whatever that is. Lisa's father-in-law started Waters Garden Center back then, and then it's passed down to the next generation, and hopefully we'll have one of our four kids take it from here. So we've just learned a thing or two about gardening, even farming, throughout the Yavapai County or this central highlands. And really, if you're tuned in from the White Mountains, Flagstaff, Payson, Kingman, we're basically in the mountains. Once you come up Black Canyon City and you crest over towards Cordis Junction, we're all the same. And we might be plus or minus a little bit, but if you can grow a locust in Flagstaff, you can grow it in Prescott, you can grow it in Kingman, you can grow it, Heber, wherever you can grow it. So yes, we're zoned anywhere from 4 to 5, Flagstaff, high elevations, Highland Pines, I'd even say Iron Springs Community, White Mountains. We're zoned, the ridge lines are a little colder. And then most of us are either a zone 6 or 7. That means we need plants that can go down to about 0 degrees. If you're the high elevation, maybe a little below 0 degrees. And things are warming. We're in the last few years, I would say, since the 1990s, last 10 years, things that we swore we could never grow here in the 80s and 90s, they're beautiful and full and gorgeous and proving us wrong. Now, we've not gone so far that we can grow citrus, even at the lower elevations. Even maybe Baghdad Hillside, that low areas, but even Yarnell, it's just too high. We get too chilly. A citrus will only go down to mid-20s. Well, all of us in the mountains get too cold for that. Same for palm trees. There's always this rumor that someone's growing a palm tree. I want to know who starts that grapevine, because I've never seen one at last. I had a neighbor that kept one alive for one winter, then it died the following spring. I felt sorry. Put all this energy into making it go, and then keels over just as the growing season hits. There's always a rumor that palms will grow up here, but they don't. There's better choices. And so figs, they grow up in the mountains. Pomegranates, there are hardy varieties. Oh, the blackberries. I have more blackberries. In fact, yesterday I was working out in the gardens, took a part day off, and for lunch, when I got done, I had blackberry-stained fingers. Oh, it's just a beautiful sight and a beautiful, even better taste. So the raspberries are coming off very strong. Figs are up to just past a quarter size, almost not quite to golf ball size yet, but large marbles. So soon, another week or two, the peaches. Looks like I'll be harvesting peaches this coming week. So right now it's keep the birds off. In fact, I should share a secret with you all. What I do, then remember, my name's Ken. I'm your friend. We're just leaning over the fence and we're chit-chatting as neighbors. Going, this has worked for me. And it could very possibly work for you as well. My blackberries. Now, a secret with blackberries, they produce berries mostly on last year's cane. So that real long cane that's growing up, you'll see some of these on your blackberries and raspberries. This aggressive long cane that has no fruit. That's the cane that will produce berries next year. This is for most varieties. The berries that are forming on the cane from last year. So last year, this long blackberry cane or raspberry cane formed without any fruit, and now it is absolutely loaded. Hundreds and hundreds of berries. I mean, a bushel basket. It's crazy how many berries you can get off of a blackberry or off berry plants. What I do for myself, I take some bird scare tape. So we've got this tape at the nursery that's reflective. Sometimes it's bright silver, sometimes it's hologram, sometimes it's multicolored red and then silver on the other side. It's long tape that floats in the wind and it spooks the birds. I tie a piece of that on my canes to keep, that have fruit to keep the birds off, but I get a second benefit. I can also, after it's done fruiting, I'm all done, I keep that bird tape on there to keep the birds off, but then it helps me identify which canes to prune out this coming winter. So I leave it on there. So it's an ID. Some people will take twine, they'll take jute netting, they'll take all kinds of stuff. But why not use bird tape? And then also it just keeps the birds off your berries and it helps you go, oh, those are the ones that I prune. You keep the canes through winter, through next spring, that don't have fruit on them right now. Those are the ones you do not touch. You tie them up and you keep them secure. You protect them. You keep them from getting bruised, or you just really covet those canes that are growing right now, because those are the ones that will load up next year. That's a real quick insider tip on your berries. They don't fruit on new growing wood or new canes. They fruit on last year's canes. So that'll really up your game and up the berry count like crazy. Another one that you may want to, just something that I'm doing in my own gardens. My name's Ken. I live here in Prescott, Arizona. But the house is at 5,700 foot level. The garden center's at 5,435, I think, something like that. So we're a mile high. And so I'm about to pick peaches. Any of your fruit trees, as soon as you pick the last of the fruits, fertilize. The two most important feedings for anything that produces fruit, especially trees, is right after they get done fruiting, and then again in October. So about whenever you see the fall color. So you'll see the aspens turning gold, you'll see the maples red. That's your cue, fertilize. That fertilization will set the stage for next spring's bud and start of bloom. So you'll get better fruit of buds, flower buds, happening if you take those two fertilizations. I'm trying to explain that where it makes sense. So as soon as they're done fruiting, and then in the fall. Now, you read books and talk to Google and stuff, and they're saying spring fertilization. What I find in the mountains, where we just don't have that much food naturally occurring in our soil. In fact, we hardly have soil. We have rocks. We have caliche. We've got boulders. We've got clay. We don't have soil, which means you don't have food. So your plants are more dependent on you as the gardener, especially if they're heavy, heavy bloomers or fruiters. That would go for lilacs, go for forsythia, rose of Sharon's, crepe myrtles, but especially fruit trees. They really benefit by more consistent fertilization. And what I'm doing with mine, I'm going to pick my peaches this coming week, and almost right afterwards, I'm going to fertilize with all-purpose plant food, a 744 organic food. I put together for Waters Garden Center. It's made for us at our elevation, and fruit trees respond magically to it. More peaches, I know what to do with, and they are huge. They're starting to get that color to them. My mouth's watering just describing them on the airwaves. The other one I'm going to do as soon as I get done picking that fruit, so I'm going to trim some of that summer suckers. So I'm going to trim it back. I'm not going to let it go and get out of control. I'm going to keep my peach tree. First of all, my peach tree is grown in a large container. And so I don't want it to get too big or it'll blow over. I want it to stay in proportion to the patio where it's showing off. So everyone comes to the back patio and goes, whoa, that's pretty good. They just want to pick one of the peaches, even while they're just green and hard. They're exciting. So, but I want to keep that proportion down. So that long growth that happened this spring and early summer, I'm going to take some of that back, give it a haircut. That's probably the only pruning I will give it until next summer. So I keep it down. I would say if it's in the ground, the same. Don't let it get so tall, any of these trees, that at least you can get to the branches with a fruit picker. At least with a tool, you can get up there. So you don't want to be reaching up with a ladder and trying to reach over and get to. Keep things down where you can get to them. And the secret is summer pruning. It makes a huge difference for a lot of things, but especially fruit trees. We have a lot in store for you this show. Alisa Waters Lane is coming in the studio. We've got to take a break, pay for a few bills. We'll be right back on The Mountain Gardener.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as The Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters all-purpose fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic, Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe retirement means more time to garden and plants make you happier at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are others talking about out there in the landscape? And so it's good to share that. You can learn a lot just by tracking. You can get a feel for patterns, how the environment is doing just by hearing the questions. We could tell you what epidemic is going through the garden center just by the baggies coming in the garden center with pest and disease and bugs and insects. We try to share some of that, and this is our way of doing it here on the radio show. Welcome, mm-hmm. Lisa.
Thank you.
So what do we got this week?
A little bit of everything this week. So it's that time of year when, you know, insects start to get bad. But yeah. Carol wants to know what to do about flies.
Oh, yeah.
So she's trying to sit outside and enjoy the weather. It's been beautiful. But the flies are just nasty, and they seem to always get nasty this time of year.
They can get mean sometimes, can't they? They get hungry or something.
Biting flies.
Yeah, so house flies, which is probably what she's talking about. She mm-hmm. might be where she's in barn country or bigger properties. And so horses and pets just kind of, if you've got a neighbor that doesn't clean up their dog poop, they should, but it attracts flies. And so what to do? Now, we've struggled being on a farm with horses and and lots of big animals, pigs and all kinds of stuff. You just naturally fight flies. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do is around the house, they make fly traps. Just get one per door. So if you however many doors you have at your house, buy one. That's your count. So if it's a two-door house, get two fly traps, put them kind of by either entrance, kind of away from the door because they can stink to high heaven. So we put one on the front patio, one on the side, one on the back. We have three doors. And then that seems to thin the numbers. And then here's kind of an insider's tip. Olson's Grain, your feed stores, your actual cattle, big farm animal feed stores, they actually have fly bait. Now, you got to be a little careful with this because you don't want to hurt birds or your pets, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. A little pellet. They actually make a little trap, a bait holder that we hang in our back juniper tree. They seem to like to hang out in the shade of the big juniper cooler in the back. We'll hang one and feed them fly bait. But you get, I don't have it here at the garden center. We've got fly traps, but your feed stores where big properties have a lot of flies, they actually sell a fly bait that is really helpful. We will put that out especially about a week prior to a party, an event, someplace where we're going to have guests over. The last thing you want are guests swatting at flies. And so we tend to go around the fence line, that post that's around the fence. Mm-hmm. I just sprinkle a little bit of fly bait all around that back entertainment barbecue area, and we don't have flies. It is rare that we have one or two flies even, but that really between the traps and the bait. And talk to the Shishkas or to the Olsons that own that chain network. They'll be glad to show you or help you figure out how to deal with flies. That's how you go about it. And then just don't have a bunch of poop and stuff hanging around for them to eat. So pick up the dog poop, you know, the common sense stuff. I'm sure she's doing that. Mm-hmm. So but that's in addition what you do.
Yeah. some of those insects, they seem to get worse with the rains and the humidity or the time of year. I don't know. Maybe it's because you're outside more. I don't know.
Flies were late this year. It was so cold, so long, I went, oh, there's no flies. It's not going to be a problem. And then it got warm, mm-hmm. and then it got wet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the flies became real bad. I think it was just so cool. They're a summer type of insect. Mm-hmm. They like the summer and fall. And so I think it is seasonal to it. I'm seeing grasshoppers now starting to show up. Oh, my gosh. They're everywhere.
Okay. Next question is from Rick. He says, I seem to be growing a bountiful crop of mushrooms in my yard. Is that a bad thing? Should I be killing them? Or is it okay just to leave them?
I don't know, Rick. Have you tried to eat some? They could cause stars to form. Or monsoons. It's the moisture. Warm, moist soil that has any amount of organics is going to cause mushrooms. That's just going to happen. So I like them. I think they're beautiful pieces of art. There's no two the same. They're kind of like snowflakes. And so if you admire them for what they are, they're okay. Now, in the backyard, I do notice I have a variety that grows up underneath the patio. So I obviously had an old root, a stump. Something was there underneath the patio, and the mushrooms are breaking that down. So mushrooms in the forest, their job is to break down old, dead stumps and wood and rotting roots and that kind of stuff. They've got a function. And so they're doing that underneath my patio. They're so strong, they lift these glued down patio blocks, and then the dogs like to eat this particular one. I've been home where the dogs are walking sideways looking at me with his glazed eyes, so I'm sure it's a freaky, weird, hallucinogenic thing, and they beg for it. It's a weird thing. I have to make sure I'm diligent at knocking those things down so the dogs don't eat them. They don't eat the other ones, just these they're attracted to. They know, or so they beg for it. I knock them down, they go, ooh, for me. And so kind of watch that. If they're in the flower beds, I encourage them to grow. Mushrooms are very good. Mushroom compost, they break down the organics and release the food, the nitrogen, to your gardens. Mushroom compost is considered the elite kind of compost because it's got the most nutrients in it. So it's very beneficial. Sometimes if it's in the wrong place, just kick it. Don't let it grow. There is no spray. There's nothing we can sell you here at the garden center that would keep them from coming up. It's part of nature. There's no way to keep nature from happening. It would be like keeping it from raining over your house. There's no way. But what they're doing is it's the monsoons, warm soil. It's just the perfect growing environment. Mm-hmm. So now through fall, you'll see mushrooms. Some of them are huge, be a foot across. Yeah. Some are come up in clusters, 20 at a time. They're like magic. They're like a little fairy. You expect a little fairy. Ooh, that would be fun. Get some fairy garden stuff. Teach your kids about mushrooms. Look them up and then make fairy gardens out of your mushroom clusters. I mean, just stick a miniature bear or fairy or something in your mushrooms, and you can have it turn into fun. It can be truly fun.
But don't eat them. We do not recommend eating the mushrooms.
Don't let your dogs eat them.
Right.
There are some that are edible. Do your homework, and you did not hear it from me. I cannot legally tell you. If you ate the wrong one, it is not my fault. It is purely your fault.
Yes.
But you can. Actually, some folks in Flagstaff go in the forest, and they harvest mushrooms. Edible.
Yes.
So it's doable.
People call and go, can you? I'm like, no.
Our attorney has told us not to not to touch that subject.
Don't do it.
And how to use pesticides, always read the label. Those are the two things. Just don't recommend anything, but read the label.
That is correct. Okay, one more quick question. Lou wants to know, he has lots of tomatoes on his plants. They're all green still. They don't seem to be ripening. Does he just need to be patient? Is it the time of year? What do you think?
If you're growing big tomatoes, they're basically just a tease. It takes a long time for them to ripen up. The energy is going in. The leaves are up. They're creating photosynthesis. They're actually absorbing. The tomatoes are growing. But if you're growing big brandywines or big tomatoes, you're the great Beef big steaks, tomatoes, they're going to take some time. It's really not until the end of August till you're really harvesting those. August, October. Now, the smaller cherries, small guys, they ripen real fast. And so we've had those out for a month already. The medium size, I like growing medium size, like Early Girl, Champion, Celebrities, the medium size fruits, because we've started, it's got some beef on it. It's got some size, but you can start harvesting much, much sooner. So you don't have to wait or blend the two next year, get some big ones and some small ones. And then between those two, you'll have start harvesting smaller cherries, then the medium-sized Celebrities, and then your larger beefsteaks. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what's going on. Watch the hail. Don't let hail beat up your tomatoes. That's something to watch. So, all right, you've tuned in to Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
The Get Real Men's Expo is dedicated to spiritual guys of all faiths. This year is full of exotic cars, motorcycles, and competitions filled with guys young and old in archery, baseball, and axe throwing. Ladies, yeah, you heard me right. This is a great father-son event that creates memories and motivates men to reconnect with their community, family, and a God that uniquely loves each one of us. Award-winning coach Tommy Bowden is flying in as our motivational speaker. Coach Bowden is not only famous for his wins at Clemson University and acclaimed author, but super motivational when it comes to living your faith as a man. His testimony is riveting. You have to hear it. I mean, wow! This year's expo is the morning of August 19th from 8:30 to 1. Coach Bowden shares his fearless leadership as a football coach, husband, and father at 11. Remember, August 19th, Yavapai College in Prescott, and the Get Real Men's Expo. If you're a man, it's free.
We believe strawberries taste better picked fresh from the garden at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Okay, welcome back. And so something that I've been doing this week in my yard was just cleanup. I actually pulled two plants out of my gardens. They were getting big. They weren't performing. Other things around them had grown up, and they were magnificent. They were alive. They were beautiful plants. But they were out of place. And so I needed to clean up and just open up some space. And it made a big difference. It really opened up and said, if you get too many plants, it feels jungle-like. Like you're going to walk through the gardens and something's going to bite you. Like snakes are going to come out or dragons. Or you just, it feels overgrown and less safe. You want to keep your landscape orderly. And so you put it in the ground and it had this open, clean, organized look, and then things grow up. You've been fertilizing, something got away from you, and all of a sudden you're going, whoa, that doesn't have the same feel. But your plants look fabulous. Now, some of you gardeners, this is going to be hard for you. So I want you to take a deep breath. If you have to, pull over if you're driving and just kind of decompress, go into that meditated state and going, I'm okay with this. But I actually killed some of my plants, two of them. So I took out a currant, which the blackberries, when they were small, the blackberries were less aggressive. Now they're happy and producing fruit like crazy. And my currants, they're now too shaded. They needed more sun. They were beautiful. They were lush, but they were competing with the blackberries and are now in the shade underneath my mimosa trees. They just were out of place. And so I had to pop that sucker out. I mean, it took me like no time, a shovel to the roots, and it popped right out. It was as tall as I was, close to it, and as bushy. And if it had been there by itself without the blackberry, it would have been fine. But I had to do one of two things. Pull the blackberries out, which are softening the fence. I've got it growing up over a big 6-foot cedar fence. I wanted something to soften up all that sterile fence line. And the blackberries do such a good job with that. Or I had to pull out the currant. And the currant wasn't performing. It was smaller, and it didn't aesthetically look as good. So I made the call, and I popped it out, and I hauled it to the dumpster, and I threw it away. And you know what? We live in America where we can do that. And if I really made a mistake, for $20, I can go plant a brand new one if I want to. So I realize I own a garden center, and that seems kind of cavalier, but sometimes you gardeners, and I'm there with you, I didn't want to do it. I had to think through and really meditate and think about it and go, yeah, this is the right thing to do. It's got to go. Even though it was alive. Some of you gardeners, this plant only has one twig alive yet. You're still there hoping that it will come back. It won't. Get the thing out of there. It's bringing you down. It's making you feel overgrown. It's making it feel like there's death and decay living in your yard. You need to get over yourselves and just thin things out sometimes. It really opens things up and makes it feel more garden-esque, more secret garden, instead of overgrown jungle, black, dark forest. You don't want that. And so I took out a butterfly bush. It was well over 6 feet. It was just way too big. And I had some of the plants in back of it were doing so well. The crepe myrtles are in bloom, but this butterfly bush was hiding my landscape. It's this beautiful crepe myrtle. It's been in bloom for a month, going to keep blooming for another month or two, and I can't see it and enjoy it because this monstrosity of a butterfly bush, even though it was in full bloom, even though it had butterflies on it, I'm going, you guys, you'll have to find another way to pollinate things. I have a lot in the yard for them. I took a shovel to it and popped it right out. It opened up the entire yard so I could see it. I can now see down to the bottom of the back end of the property line where the crepe myrtles and the chautauquas are blooming. The Spanish brooms are coming up. The salvia, the spireas are in bloom. It just looks different. It changed the whole dynamic of that part of the gardens just by pulling out a plant. If a plant is overgrown, get rid of it. If you can't maintain it by pruning techniques, get rid of it. If the other parts of the landscape have finally matured enough where now you can thin this and open it up so we can see the maturity of your landscape, I think that's okay. And they went right to the side by side. They were in the dumpster. I dragged them here to the garden center and I said, gosh, it's been nice knowing you, but goodbye. Time for mulch. You're going to be turned to something for the next beautiful plant very shortly. So I just kind of, that hurts me a little bit when I had to do that, but boy, did it ever feel right when it looked visually stimulating better. And so there I fertilized my chautauquas. The other things that were looking good, I gave them some all-purpose plant food, helped them grow and bloom some more, and they'll fill out more. There's less plants competing for the same water and resources. And I was able to plug up that irrigation and I didn't put anything back in that spot. Didn't have to because all the other landscape was mature. Looks better now. They're able to carry visually more of that landscape. And so I don't need to water as many plants. The few plants I do have, I have to take care of better to make sure they keep their kind of wow star power out there in the landscape. And I think we need to see more of that in the landscapes. Back with a lot of advice from Lisa Waters Lane right after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on shop, and choose personal garden shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The personal garden shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe searching Waters plants are better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center. All right, we are back in the studio with Lisa Waters Lane, and this segment is all hers. So she comes and puts together a thought for the garden, a way to make it better, some fragrance or color or more private feeling, and then she shares that from a woman's perspective. I think we need that more. We got all these man landscapers, man designers, men. And sometimes it doesn't have the feel. And so a lot of folks will move into a house And the man contractor built the house, and the plugs are in the wrong place in the kitchen and the bathrooms. And then you go to the man entrance to the front door, which is all angular and concrete, feels like in the heart of Russia. You've got the man gardens, which is rock and a boulder. And you just don't – the ladies come in. They go, this isn't good enough. And they want to nest and start to make it feel more homey. And so you are our homey person. You're my homie. Would you be my homie?
You know, the biggest thing that drives me nuts that I notice.
There's only one?
No, there's several. You know that. But with the landscapers now seem to go, what do you got, Joe, that's on sale that I can throw into this guy's yard? And, you know, you got one of this and three of those. And they're like weird things thrown in, and it's a mishmash of stuff.
They just come in and go, I'll take five of those, three. They just put them on the trailer. Let's go.
Yeah.
There's no design. There's no flair. There's no plan. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm required to put 20 shrubs and three trees. Give me anything that looks even halfway decent. I'll take it.
Right.
And then they're trying to meet a bid or a price. Yeah. So you end up with this, I mean, red tip photinias in the middle, right in front of your door.
Right.
Crazy things.
Things in weird spots. And you're like, why do they have that there? That doesn't go there.
So that drives me crazy as a man, much less that's got to really drive a woman with color and textures and nose art.
It's just kind of weird. You just, and maybe because we know what things are and how they grow and how they mature, what they're going to look like in a few years. Yeah. And you just kind of go, that's a disservice to that consumer because they're going to have to rip it out and redo it. And
contractors
they're
so busy right now. Now, all the trades, from electricians and plumbers to landscapers and maintenance, they're all just slammed. They get more work. They know what to do with. And so they're just in, they're out. Good luck getting them back to do anything. I'm hearing horrible stories out there of service, just bad service. And so I think that's one that the consumer may not see right now, but they will in 2 years. They'll go, dang it, what the heck was happening here? Yeah. And their landscape contractor license only on the hook for 2 years.
Yeah.
After that, you're all on your own. You can't even file a claim against their license to complain. Yeah, you can Google, you know, one star, but that doesn't help your
Right.
This relief for its vengeance. Anyway, I agree.
So, yeah, it's a little frustrating, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, people, when they first move in, they're kind of, they're inside focused.
Yeah,
and by the
true.
Time they get to the outside, it's kind of too late. But anyways, I think a few weeks ago, I was talking about the monsoons, and people are going to find their hillsides washed down the road, and the monsoons hadn't come yet. And you're like, well, yeah, people aren't thinking about that yet. But now the monsoons have been here. And it's funny, you drive through the streets and you find these puddles of hillsides washed down the road. And I think now people are probably realizing, oh yeah, my hillside does need some stabilization, or I do need some ground cover in these areas to kind of help hold the soil in, keep my driveway from getting dirt on it all the time or moving down onto the walkways. So I'm going to mention it again, because it's time to think about ground covers.
Okay, that's good. I don't think you can cover that enough. We could do an entire show on nothing but ground covers, if you're including all the types of ground covers.
There's so many.
Everyone from the Midwest is thinking ajugas, these low-growing perennials, vinca. Mm-hmm. But there's so many great shrubs in the mountains that can be used. There's so many vines that can be used, not to climb up, but to creep over hills. I drove by someone's house that had a gully washer. Even their riprap gave way.
This
riprap is basically small rocks stacked up the side of a hill. Mm-hmm. It's gotten so much rain, so moist, it just started to, it just gave way.
Right.
And so plants have a great, that kind of place is for vine.
Mm-hmm.
Climb it in there, hold it in, make it go.
Right. That's one of the things you and I were talking about. We drove through Mare the other day, and we were talking about the fire.
Yeah.
And how if a fire is really, really hot through an area, it takes the roots right out of the plants, and that's where you get the soil erosion.
Yeah.
Whereas if a fire's not so hot that it leaves the roots in there, it'll hold the soil. So you basically need plants that are holding the roots that will hold the soil
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of your grasses make great plants to hold your soil in. So your Carl Forrester, your ivory feathers, your maidenhair grasses, the little blue fescue.
Yeah.
All those grasses are terrific.
And I'd go so far as the native one, the bear grass. They're looking fabulous out there in the nursery. It's a native with a very large, not quite as large as a yucca or something, but very fibrous, very large root mass that keeps things intact. Tremendous holding power. And it's pretty. It doesn't have to just be for erosion. It's just pretty.
It is. So. Very low maintenance, too. Terrific for that.
Mean, not just low. No maintenance, which is great. Bear grass is super. Every yard should have at least one.
That's true. One of the grasses, since we're talking about grasses, that I love out there because it is so different is the gold bar grass.
Oh, yeah. That's
because it has a horizontal stripe to it. So it really catches your eye because it has like a green and gold horizontal bar to it. And it's so different because we're always used to seeing vertical.
Yeah.
A lot of your variegated stuff is a vertical stripe to it. And you just get used to seeing that. So to see a grass that has a horizontal stripe, very, very eye-catching.
All the code writers out there, they'll love that. Anyone with a spreadsheet, you know, all your accountants, those engineer folks, you'll love gold bar because it's just like a digital, you read it across, like a bar. The long leaves, 3 foot long leaves, have this gold bar going up and down the leaf. Not a stripe up and down the length, but across it. This is very unusual. Did you notice? We have a gold bar grass in our backyard.
Really?
It was, you may not even notice, I pulled out that huge butterfly bush in the backyard, and behind it was a gold bar grass. You never saw it because the butterfly bush took over, and I popped that out. Now the crepe myrtle's showing, the gold bar grass, the chitalpas, all looking. The yard looks bigger, and now it looks sexier and showier and more intimate.
Cool.
Yeah, so take a close look. Yeah.
Neat. So you mentioned the bear grass, another really good one that people may not think about, but another low water use, easy care, would be the Grolo sumac.
Oh, that's a good idea. Sumac. Always a good native sumacs grow wild here. And so the low grow is a very low growing. Was that knee high or so?
Oh, yeah. The most.
And beautiful orange color in the fall. And very, very good at holding down. Another one that we use to hold stuff down is that tiger eye sumac. So any sumac is going to do well. I would say get the lower growing ones, though.
Right.
And, of course, the grow low is going to be the lowest.
That's a nice one. And then the kinnikinick, the
ground cover manzanita.
There you go. Thank you very much. I was in a brain lapse there. Very, again, low water use, low maintenance, does a terrific job of holding the soils in. You're not going to have to do a lot of muss and fuss with it. So it's a nice one for holding in.
Now, you can plant all of these right now. I would go cotoneaster, creeping junipers.
Junipers.
You can go right down. I don't know, vines, akebia.
Honeysuckle.
Yeah, honeysuckle is a classic. What else? Silver lace vine, trumpet vine, all of
Virginia
those are
creeper.
A classic native. Ground covery kind of plant.
Yeah.
All of those can be planted right now. They're best planted right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time when you want to put them in because the ground's warm and it's moist and they'll grow. You'll actually put them in the ground and they'll flush additional growth this year. You'll actually go, it's small now. Look how big it got just because we have plenty of growing season left out in the yard. Well, Lisa, thanks for coming to the studio and sharing with us ground covers. To come and talk to Lisa and the crew for more details on ground covers.
I had a lot more.
Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters all-purpose fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils.
Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe in roses that smell like a rose at Waters Garden Center.
One of the reasons that I describe the start of the monsoons as another planting season, you can actually have more success by planting now, July, August, mid-September, while the rains are happening. It's even more successful than spring bloomings, plantings, is because the ground is warm. It's moist. The ground, the humidity in the air is moist. The cloud cover, these are all variables that plants love. They just really adapt and enjoy that. So you get better root formation, or at least faster root formation. So if it is hot, if we get a dry day, you need to watch your watering a little bit, but that's any time of the year. So I just find my plants take better this time of year. Secondly, like perennials, this is June, July, first part of August is perennial season. This is when you can come down to the garden center and all those perennials that you were looking at in the spring that were just barely starting to come up. Remember, perennial and permanent both start with P. So perennial is comes back every year. Do it once and done. So perennial and permanent comes back every year. You go to the garden center and the perennials, they're coming back from the roots, but they're hard. They're just green. There's no blossom. They overcompensate for that by putting a huge overkill label on it. So you can see a picture, just descriptions. They're trying to inspire you on a piece of plastic. But now you don't even have to read the tag. You go, whoa, that's pretty nice. They're all in bloom. You'll see echinaceas just erupting with flower. You'll see gallardias just covered in blooms. Garas hovering where hummingbirds are just dive bombing, trying to claim it as theirs. This is when all the perennials are in bloom. Many of your summer blooming type of shrubs, your crepe myrtles, Rosa Sharons, the vitex, chaste trees, your trumpet vines, in the spring, they're the last ones to wake up. They don't like spring. They like summer. They like it warm. They like it hot. So those plants, you walk through in the spring going, I don't like that. It's still twiggy. I'll take a lilac. Or I'll take a forsythia instead, something that's in bloom. Now you come to the garden center, they're all in color, all in bloom, because they like this time of year, and they like being planted even more this time of year. So there's a real benefit. Take advantage of the monsoon planting season. Literally, that's what it is, and it's unique to the mountains of Arizona. Other parts of the country don't have monsoons. They don't have this cool down. The nights are nice. I mean, you get an afternoon rain. It's just a good time to plant. It's unique to Arizona. Another thing to watch, though, is I went mountain biking with some guys out to Brownlow Park, Pioneer Park, out to Commerce Drive in Prescott. Beautiful place to mountain bike. Late in the day, so sun's going down. We're kind of after work. We all landed and said, let's go ride for a few miles. Stopped just to chit-chat and catch up as friends, and the mosquitoes were awful. And there was no water around that I could see. There obviously was. That's one thing to watch, too, is you need to be diligent during the monsoons to keep that wheelbarrow from filling up with water, that five-gallon bucket that's by the side of the house, to keep it emptied. The dog water, make sure you keep it fresh. Kind of dump it out, refill. The mosquitoes can really act up quickly. They come out of nowhere and you've gone from none. Now, we don't have those huge mosquitoes that you'll find in, let's say, the South. But we do have them. They're small and ferocious. They're tenacious. So that's one you just keep diligent where water gathers. And moving water does not attract mosquitoes. It's stale, stagnant, still water that attracts mosquitoes. Watch your bird baths. If they just stand there, and you'll find these little tiny shrimp-like little bouncing around bugs in the water, that's the larva stage or pupa stage of the mosquitoes. Dump that out, wish them well as they dry out and die, and then refill with fresh water. If you've got some stagnant water that you just cannot create freshness, we do have a product here called a mosquito dunk. It's a little donut that you float, and it's made of BT. It's an organic bug killer. But they go in, they start to digest or eat this mosquito dunk, and they die. It keeps the mosquitoes at bay. But it's safe for cattle and horses and dogs and cats and birds. And it's safe for other things to drink the water, but it keeps the mosquitoes at bay. It is hugely specialized. They're hard to find, but we carry them here at Waters Garden Center, at least, called mosquito dunks. Very affordable. You can break them up if you need to and sprinkle them out in places. I just tend to put them in the water and let them float there where I've got still water. It'll really cut down the mosquitoes during the monsoon season. And remember, it's a planting season. It's a good time to put trees and shrubs and some of your summer shrubs and vines in the ground. Here's really how you need to plant. This is especially important for you folks out in the hard 69 corridor. Heavy clay soils, caliche layers. And I learned this, Lisa and I, our first house in the area was out in Prescott Valley. Dating myself, this is before Prescott Valley had paved roads. They still had dirt roads. All they brought to you as service was an electrical line, and that was it. You are on septic systems. This is way back in the 80s and 90s. It was all still open rangeland. And so we were just starting to build out, just starting to plant. So now all those neighborhoods, they're filled in. All of them, the entire road has houses. The trees are mature. It's beautiful. But we killed a few things, and here's how I was killing things. In Prescott, when I was gardening here, I would have a little divot, or I'd try to rain harvest, or try to make it, I'd amend it heavily, and the rains would come, and the soil drained enough, I could just slop it around, and I could get it close, and the plants would live. Prescott Valley, you had to be more exact. And so because of that hard clay soil, it was a kind of soil that when you walked over it and it was wet, you would start to grow. I mean, it would stick to the bottom of your feet. It would just start to elevate. It'd be 2-3 inches of clay on the bottom of your feet. Plants don't like that. So what I did is I would dig the hole wide because the roots would not go down through that. They're going to go sideways. So I'd only dig the hole as deep as the root ball. Then I'd go 3 times the width. And I made sure, especially my evergreens, or those things that are very drought hardy, agaves, yuccas, I would say trumpet vines, any juniper, any cypress, cedar, spruce, pine, anything like that. If they were sensitive to wet feet, I made sure that I planted that root ball on a slight mound. So I'd leave about 2-3 inches of root out of the ground, and then I would mound the soil up around that. I would heavily amend it with Waters Premium Mulch. So I try to aerate, keep that soil from compacting right back down to clay-like surface. I try to amend it so it's keep it fluffy. So the mulch, I'd go about 20, 30, 40% mulch to this native soil. And I'd blend that together and backfill or mound up over that root ball. And it made a tremendous difference on how my mortality rate dropped dramatically. It was a game changer. So now if we come out and plant with you, now we now have crews that go travel around and just put things in the ground for folks. That's the technique I taught them. That's a technique. And no one sees that mound but you. It's ever so slight. So, and then you feather it out and you put your water basin around that, or you put your drip emitter right on top of that. But it allows a portion of that root to breathe. And so if we get these heavy afternoon rains where you've got an inch of water sitting in your backyard, at least an inch or two of that root can breathe. And so the plant, if it's really struggling, might sacrifice the lower roots and just go, I can't breathe down here. It's just too wet and clay and yucky. I'm going to refocus my energy up on the root levels up top. And so they'll change and adapt. That, and when you get it all planted, you packed all that soil down, you got your irrigation set, water it in with root and grow. It's a rooting hormone. It's a rooting liquid that I put together years and years ago. It helps plants transplant better. They go into shock when you put them in the ground. Well, this root and grow helps it stabilize. It's kind of like an IV. Kind of has a mild rooting hormone, so it'll force more root hairs out. Very slight fertilizer to it, but it helps that first. And I'll use that every couple of weeks until I see the plant has taken. I'm seeing new growth, starting to bloom. I go, oh, it's working. And then I cut it off of that root and grow. I'll fertilize it with the all-purpose plant food, and that's the long-purpose fertilization. So put that on once, and it feeds slowly over the next 3 months. But the root and grow keeps it from going into shock and forces it to force new root hairs. It's a game changer and really ups your game and success rate of planting throughout anywhere in Arizona, but really those heavy clay areas.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Next week, I have a real treat that you should put on your radar. So next Saturday at 9:30, I have Creatures of the Night. We're going to fly bats and owls through the back greenhouse here at Waters Garden Center. And Paul and Ann from the Arizona Raptor Experience are going to teach people the benefits, pros and cons of bats and owls. Lots of Q&A, lots of pictures. It is absolutely free. Lisa and I have already donated to their cause. We might take a free will donation just because they're always trying to raise money for food. I think it was like 2,000 pounds, maybe it was 2 tons of food they feed all these birds with. And then they go out and train us citizens on raptors and the benefits of birds and how to attract more birds. But they are really good. Next Saturday at 9:30, Paul and Ann will both be here at the Arizona Raptor Experience, but specifically we've done their eagles, we've done their hawks and kestrels. Let's do something different. So they go, ooh, we got this. We don't get to show off our bats and owls very much. Can we come in and talk about Creatures of the Night? And so that's next week's program. After that, the 19th. We've got Secret Gardens with Hedges and Privacy Screens. I'm not sure who will teach that. We've got several folks that are experts here at the Garden Center that cover privacy screens. But that neighbor, if you're building like crazy and you're seeing you're too close to your neighbors and they're out in the back patio grilling and they're looking into your bedroom or watching you eat dinner, we'll go over how to screen it, how to space them, which ones grow fastest, easiest. We'll go over noise, how to reduce that, how to go over light, headlights coming into your, and then how to just screen fast growers, more thick plants, just which ones are best. So we'll go over, that's Saturday the 19th, at always at 9:30. Every Saturday at 9:30, we've got a garden class. And so take a look at that. And I guess while we're on service announcements, let me just mention that the Get Real Men's Expo is going to be August 19th at Yavapai College in Prescott. Now, you're hearing some announcements. I'm helping to promote that. This is a multi-church, just a bunch of Christian business leaders got together and said, you know what? We need to bring something in for guys. So all these ladies groups, all these women's mops, mothers stuff, we don't have anywhere to take our boys. I mean, there's no place where fathers can take their sons and just go do man stuff, rawr, much less as a group. So we got together 6 years ago And this is our sixth year, and we just bring in a top name speaker. This year it's Coach Tommy Bowden. He's Clemson University, multi-year national winner. So he knows football, how to lead teams, groups, and a great Christian guy with a great message. He's coming to speak to us. He'll be August 19th at 11. It's free to any guy. Actually, gals are welcome too. But it's a lot of there'll be axe throwing. We've got Yavapai County Sheriff just agreed to land their helicopter in the parking lot at Yavapai College. We've got all the armor from the police departments. Canine units will do examples or showmanship. We even have the only bomb-sniffing, I think it's a German Shepherd, I think, is going to give a demonstration, and a lot more. A lot of car shows, lots of toys, all the toys, the boats, the ATV stuff, they're all coming. That's August 19th. Come, just check it out. And if you got a church, a bunch of guys, bring them with you. Last year we had over 25 churches involved with this event. And so we're trying to build that up. I think we need to be less walls around our churches and be more open. I think that's what it's meant to be, and that's what builds community, especially when we're talking about our churches. So come August 19th to the Get Real Men's Expo, 8:30 to 1.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it too.
We believe local businesses are better than impersonal box stores at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.